Hey, everybody, welcome back to another great opportunity to discuss an awesome book. Today, we're talking about The Go-Giver, written by Bob Berg and his trusty pal, John David Mann. And I've got it right here on the screen. If you're listening to our podcast, we welcome you. We appreciate you. We want your feedback. If you could please send us a message, you can send it to info@mychampioncircle.com. Champion Circle is a professional organization that focuses on the development, the personal development of individuals in their business, in their lives, so that they can accelerate their results. And as a result of that, we are avid learners and readers, and we love this book club, which is called Champion Reads, where we discuss concepts and opinions and learnings and findings and questions that we might have about best-selling books throughout the world. And we've covered plenty of great books from Think and Grow Rich to so many more other great ones. And your recommendations matter to us. So if you have a book you'd like us to read and discuss, we'd love to hear from you. So send us an email, info@mychampioncircle.com. And you can reach any one of us from the team there. And we'd love to take your questions, your thoughts, your comments, your quotes. And of course, while you're already doing your homework, we appreciate a 5-star review. It helps us to keep our podcast going. In fact, it actually gives us more ability to reach more people and share this great awesomeness. So we appreciate you guys. And today we are joined with the amazing co-producers and I'm just going to call them my partners in crime here as we talk about our own stuff with each of the book. We got William Blake, our dyslexic and empowerment coach, and Ian Sturmer. He's an author and small business owner. And we're all part of the executive team over at Champion Circle. And we're just grateful that you are listening to us today and excited to jump in. And with this, the Go-Giver series, we've already covered one segment. And just to give everyone a brief recap, and then I'll end my monologue here. I tend to always jump into the monologues, but in a brief recap, you know, The Go-Giver is a modern parable that explores the principles of success and giving. It centers around a character named Joe, a young and ambitious salesperson who is struggling to meet his targets. He seeks guidance from a successful mentor whose name is Pindar, and who introduces him to the 5 laws of stratospheric success. The 5 laws of stratospheric success. And in the last episode, we already covered the law of value. And the law of value encompasses the law of compensation and a little bit of the law of influence. And today we're going to begin today's conversation about the law of influence. But just to give you a small recap, the law of compensation is that your income is determined by how many people you serve and how well you serve them. And then subsequently to that, that is the law of compensation. I read that one a little too quickly. The law of value is your true worth is determined by how much more you give in value than you take in payment. And then again, the compensation one is your income is determined by how many people you serve. And just touching on the law of influence, right? A lot of this has to do with your influence is determined by how you abundantly place other people's interests first, which is a Champion Circle's trigger word and theme and mission and goal in everything we do, which is why we love this book and why we love talking about this. Our great friend and mentor, Mr. Zig Ziglar, bless his soul as he rests. But Mr. Zig Ziglar used to say, and all the time he would say, you can have anything in this world if you help enough people get what they want. Right? I tried to embody my best impression of Zig Ziglar. Not a great one. He's a little bit more squeakier at the end. I'll work on my Zig Ziglar impression. But it truly is value. When you focus on serving others, that is ultimately how you gain a exponential great return. Your ROI, your best ROI, can be calculated by how you treat other people. And so the law of influence is really determined by how you abundantly place other people's interests first. This is like, I mean, come on, Willie, this is This is how to win friends and influence people 101. This is the basics of being a thoughtful, genuine, and authentic person. And influence is no stranger to creating value and compensation amongst the relationships that you have. And I'll begin with the story that we started a small business called Champion Circle. And in the midst of its growth, we did a we'll call it a mastermind that was a impromptu, more of a come and just learn our methodologies, where we were testing the grounds for incredible conversations and activities. And at this meeting, we built great relationships. Business was transacted. So many people had a great time. And after 9 months of conducting these meetings, we reached out to a lot of the individuals who attended, and we asked them for an approximate number of how much money they transacted, whether it was income or paid for during the relationships built at our event. And a total of $20 million in 9 months had been transacted through this mastermind. And that was profitable for all involved. And it was incredible. And that was something that I realized. That wasn't just compensation. That wasn't just business. That wasn't just networking. That really was influence. Because when you take an interest in other people, you build that relationship, that rapport, that trust, you begin to find the authenticity, which leads to relationships. And relationships, or relationship capital, is the best currency. Because if you don't have community, if you don't have friends, family, colleagues, people you can trust. I mean, somebody asked me the other day, they asked me, who is your 3 a.m. call? When you're stuck on the side of the road and it's the middle of the night and you could bother anyone in the world, who do you make that call to? Who are your 3 a.m. callers? And I had a hard time thinking about that. And then after I stopped complicating it in my brain, I realized easy, you know, I know for sure and for a fact that if I called William Blake or Ian Sturmer, these guys would drive across country to come save me.
Absolutely.
Oh man, I love hearing that. I was just throwing it out there, hoping, I was praying that you were actually going to say yes. I'm just kidding. Thank you. But that's because we've built that connection. And would I do it for them? In a heartbeat, I would be there. So that was an interesting thought. But truly, influence comes from genuineness and authenticity. What are your guys' thoughts on the law of influence? And then we'll get into law four and number five.
I know for me, there's I love what you said, all of it of which is true. One thing that stood out, though, was when you were talking about influence, and it reminded me of how complicated we can make it as well as how simple it can be, right? And so what I love about doing this book club, what I love about doing this podcast and everything that we do in general is that we make things so simple that someone who's just getting into the self-development industry or just getting into networking and masterminds, that they feel comfortable and that they can just jump in. It won't be such a huge burden and they'll just be able to take a run at it. But also, we go so in depth that those who have been in it for a long time, that years, decades, whatever it may be, that there's also those ideas to help improve their lives as well. Like that's why I love influence, because influence isn't just like, oh, it's just for beginners, or oh, it's just for those who have been in here for two or three decades. No, it's for everyone, because each of us are going through a certain part in our life. And the only way that we are able to grow is to change it up. Right. I think that it's the quote, stupidity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Why don't we change that? Why don't we do it to where we do a different thing to get a different result? Seems like common sense, but it's not. Or is it like I think it's common knowledge, but not common sense, because I think sense has like an experience aspect to it. So talking about, you know, the law of influence and going off what John said, I love it because it's so easy that we can just take it right off the bat and apply it right to our lives, but so in depth that we can talk endlessly about what's going on. That's why I like the book Go Giver, because it simply puts, just keep giving, give, 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 and it'll come back to you. And then as the people who are listening, listen to this more, you realize there's so much more in depth that we can go. So that's kind of my thoughts on influence.
Sorry, I'm catching up on my phone here. I want to say something about what Willie said, and I'm going to disagree just a little bit. Influence is not always something simple or easy, but it is something we can all do. So I had an opportunity to work for a couple of years in the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Hong Kong. One of the best hotels in the world. Like, you look at the list of hotels, top hotels in the world, it's in the top 10 all the time. Beautiful hotel, wonderfully located, beautiful decorations, restaurants, all these things are great. But for decades, loyal customers, loyal guests came back to that hotel for one reason. Giovanni Valenti. He was the concierge. Now, if you know a concierge in a hotel, their job is to do whatever you need to get done, make reservations, give you directions, answer questions. Their job is to serve. Mr. Valenti was so well known. He was literally world-renowned concierge. People would come in, not having stayed there for a year or two, and he'd greet them by name. He'd ask how their flight was, because he remembered which flight they took to get there and where they were flying from. He was a man of influence. He knew the people there. He knew the city. He knew the restaurants. He knew the people in them. He could get you into the restaurant, into the show, whatever you wanted. Tip of his fingers. He had all the connections. And people came back because he made them feel special. He was a well-known person, but everyone he talked to felt like he was there for them individually. He cultivated those connections. He built that influence one-on-one with his business connections and with the guests coming in. Anyone can do that. It's not easy. It takes a lot of time to build that, to make those connections, to be able to share that influence that you've built with other people. And that's really what they show in the book here. He gives the example of Rachel, who builds a coffee business. But she built it not just because she had the best coffee that everyone loved, but she learned Spanish and traveled down to all these coffee-producing countries and built relationships, built an influence with the coffee growers, with the distributors. So when the opportunity came up, she was able to grow her business from zero to 100 in 3 seconds, like a Tesla insane mode. So building that influence, it takes time, it takes effort, but we all have that ability if we put other people in those relationships first.
I love that. And by the way, I hope for our listeners, I get fired up when the three of us disagree with each other. I get really excited about it because I appreciate the depth and the expansion, and it allows me to say, oh, interesting, someone else doesn't agree with me. I get to listen up. And I was actually on page with Willie. So by disagreeing with Willie, you disagreed with me too. And I love your thoughts because it's a totally different perspective. And I learned so much from those moments. So thank you for disagreeing with me, Ian.
Oh, no problem. That's because I'm right and you're wrong. So, you know.
Absolutely. I agree with that. Or I disagree with that. But, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because I have a question regarding that. when you say you make people feel special, when you make people feel loved, heard, received, validated, fulfilled, whatever, when you make people feel that way, there's that, there's a word I'm getting hung up on, and it's the word make, because you don't make anyone do anything. But I know I'm reading into this too literally, but my thought on this is there's a level of authenticity, which is just genuineness, that creates that. You don't have to follow a particular group or list of techniques and strategies to do so. It's not manufactured. Can it be practiced? Absolutely. There's a reason why one of the most successful self-help books of all time is How to Win Friends and Influence People. A book written in 1937, still relevant today, because people want to be heard, and it's just human nature, right? And so with all that being said, I agree that, you know, if you were to simplify it down to one thing, it's just, it's making people feel special, but there's no rhyme or reason or technique or strategy on how to do that. There are plenty of ways you can do it, and it works for some and doesn't work for others, because all of us have a different approach. But I guess my open question here is how are some of the methods or techniques that we use to make people feel special? And to be less vague, let's just talk about, like, in a professional setting. I feel like as professionals, when we first meet people, you know, how do we make people feel special? I'll ask that question for the team, and let's kind of dive into it a little bit before we jump into principle four. What do you think, Willie?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Funny enough, I have an event that I'm going to, that it's someone who, it's their first event, and I wanted to go and support them. Wonderful networking event. And it's funny that you mentioned, like, let's talk about this professionally first, because that's the first thing that came to my mind, thinking, okay, what can I do? Because I'm going to apply this after this today. Like, it's going to be an immediate action type thing. How do you build that influence with other people or around that? I know for myself how I go about doing it is through first remembering their name. If you've known me, that's like one of my favorite things to talk about, is that someone's name is, might not be their favorite, but it is one of the most important words to them, because that every time you say it, it's calling for them. And so when someone is remembering a name, that could be, you know, the next day you text their name if you get their phone number, or years ahead, if you bring up their name that you met one time, it makes them feel that much more special. So I'd say the very first thing, John, and I'm trying to remember the question. You might have to say it again. But for me, to, I believe it was to, like, how not to make people value you or feel impressed, but kind of like go through it with that influence. First thing that comes to my head is just remembering their name. And then you can go through other things such as remembering what they do, giving them referrals, helping them in their business or what they're doing, or something to, you know, give to them. John, you are muted.
Rookie mistake. And the question is, yeah, you nailed it. The question is, how do you feel, how do you make people feel important, or how do you make them feel special, right? In the example that Ian shared, you know, he just did it. Like, he had suggestions on restaurants and all kinds of really great, like, experiences. But, like, you know, just from a personal space and in a professional setting, how do you guys make others feel special? And you nailed it, Willie. That's awesome. Remembering people's names is top of the list. What about you, Ian? How do you make people feel special?
Yeah. I think that, like Willie said, remembering name, remembering things about them. Again, I'm going to get back to them because paramount excess and luxury. And if I can put it kind of in simple words, you treat someone so good that they have no choice but to be impressed with you and want to be around you. You treat someone with so much love, so much respect, so much concern for them, that they have no choice.
I love it. And for those of you who don't speak robot, he was saying that, you know, you remember things about people. I'm actually interpreting because I got some of it, but that's amazing. And yeah, the reason why I said robot, Ian, is the service is a little shaky. It would pop in and out, but thank you for sharing that. And I agree with you. The way that you make people feel special, it kind of goes off of what both of you are saying. I think an easy way to make people feel special or feel appreciated or whatever is eye contact first, smile, and then what you guys all said. I agree with that. When I do that, it almost feels like you go out of your way, even if you're a happy-go-lucky person, right? But it makes people feel like you go out of your way to make them feel good. And I do this every single day when I am like testing the waters with people. When you open a door for someone, don't just open the door. Look them in the eye and smile, right? Or say hello. Go out of your way to do something. And then, there's so much. I think what Ian said, Willie, is interesting because remembering things, that's a hard one. I mean, in and of itself, remembering names is so hard. I used to have a friend, and I had a mentor in a guy named Bob, I'll remember his last name, Bob Cattell. Did you ever meet Bob Cattell?
I don't think so. Doesn't sound familiar.
Okay. Bob Cattell is a good friend of ours. He's a motivational speaker. He lives in Utah. But anyways, Bob's awesome. And he was the memory coach. He used to teach people how to remember names. And he had a methodology on how he could do that. So anyways, long story short is remembering names is tough. But just remembering things about people, that's even tougher. Like making correlations in How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's find a likeness in people, even if it's something that you don't like. Look for qualities that you can relate to and make connections to remember things. Those are important qualities. So anyways, without getting too far off the path, I just wanted to say, I think there's some really cool ways. And then you can absolutely make people feel special by addressing them out of the norm, right? A smile, eye contact, you look great today, you know, compliments and stuff like that, but not for the purpose of flattery and winning people over, but in the purpose of genuineness and kindness, right? Kindness is so powerful versus just being nice, right? If you open a door, that's bar minimum. Like that is a minimum standard. If you don't open a door for someone, you are trash. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, John.
That was really, wow, that got heated fast.
no, but comments? Yeah, but off that point, before we jump into the other laws, two things come to mind. One thing with Walmart, and then another thing that will hopefully come after that. So while I was off your thing, people that I remember, I worked produce and meat at Walmart together a couple of years. And I talked to a lot of customers. But the funny thing is, I only remember a select few. Unfortunately, I'd say like 70% were not so good interactions. But there was this one guy I remember. And it was probably 4 or 5 months when I first started working there. This guy came up to me and I was like putting the cucumbers and the zucchinis out. He comes up to me and says, "Hey, Willie." And I had my name tag hanging there, but no one ever said my name as as, you know, a customer. So I thought it was just my manager or something. So I look up and there's just, you know, he's a decent looking guy, and he had his like slacks on and a nice like spotted white shirt. He says, "Hey, I was wondering if you could help me. Do you know where et cetera is?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I do. I'll show you right where it is." And so I walked him over there, and he said, "Awesome, Willie, thank you for showing me that." And I said, "Yeah, anything else I can do?" He says, "No, I'm good." And I said, "Awesome, thank you for coming." And then I walked back. And since that day, I still remember that interaction. I feel like it's sad to say, but for most people, when customers come, I just kind of pointed them to where they needed to go to find their thing. Not because I didn't want to be nice, but because there's just always so much on my plate. But this guy was different. Because he took the time to just say my name, again, you know, back to the whole name thing, but simply he took the time to do something that someone else didn't do. He did something that raised the standard just a little bit, just one word more. Instead of saying, "Hey, can you help me?" he said, "Hey, Willie, can you help me?" And just simply that made me want to go out of my way to make him have such a great experience, which in turn, I'm sure he, you know, maybe he thought that was like he remembers me to today. Probably not. But he probably thought that was an awesome experience. And I love it. I love it. Because we just need to, like you said, there's that minimum standard of opening the door. And we'll just, you know, leave it at that. We won't get too heated about it. But that minimum standard of opening the door and then just do a little bit more, right? Look at them and smile. That doesn't seem too hard. Just to have a smile and a nod on standby, as I like to say. Just wherever you go, always have a smile and a nod on standby. Just a little bit more create such an impact that most people don't do. But when they do, they're remembered in that 1% of individuals and people's lives. So just upping that standard a little bit to just say one or two more things or do one or two more things creates 1,000 times exponential results than if you just simply stayed at that bare minimum.
Yeah, man, I love that. I love what you said too. You know, having a smile and a nod on standby. That's a great principle to use, to have in your pocket, to be ready. I love that. You know, what's interesting is we've been covering a lot on the law of influence, and, you know, we're coming up to the 30-minute marker, and I definitely want to have some input from Ian on some of these other laws, and I know his service isn't that great right now, but, you know, potentially we could do one more session where we cover law number 4, number 5, given the length of time. And just out of respect to Ian, I'd love to learn more from him as well, but just kind of recapping what the last two laws are, the law of authenticity, which has a lot to do with, you know, the value gift you have to offer is yourself. And we kind of touched on that today. I mean, authenticity and being yourself, and there are some techniques and strategies, but all in all, like just being a human and kind to people is a great way to give, right? And then the law of receptivity, which is the key to effective giving, is to stay open to receiving. I want to touch on that later, but I want to like back up and just kind of wrap up today's conversation with a big picture concept, right? These are interesting because we know what a go-getter is, right? A go-getter is somebody who is outgoing, outspoken, energetic, charisma. He is something, he or she is someone who goes out and gets it, like gets it done. And that's a positive thing. And the go-giver is not trashing that go-getter. It's offering a new perspective, because while go-getters can get outside and really turn lemons into lemonade, right? They can do anything. A go-giver has a different approach. And I wanted to touch on that because I didn't want anyone to feel or think that go giving nullifies go getting. But what go giving does is it leads with authenticity and kindness. I used the word earlier. I'm going to reread it again. It's the laws of stratospheric success. Stratospheric success, which they're talking stratosphere. They're talking like endless, abundant, limitless success. That's what stratospheric success is. And you can have success as a go-getter. And as you're getting, you're making things happen. But as a giver, the abundance grows exponentially, stratospherically. And I just wanted to touch on that because we need to make sure that as go-givers, right, we not only protect ourselves from the takers, right? But if you give abundantly without thinking otherwise, in this experience, Willie, like that you just shared about Walmart is, yeah, it's kind of somebody's job, right, to be a help at a place like a store like Walmart. But at the end of the day, you could have just said like yes or just no or been simple, but you went above and beyond like what really is expected, and that makes a huge difference in people's lives. Because I have been places where, for a lack of better explaining, I was underwhelmed with the help and the things that came from the people working at the actual location. And that to me was like, man, like never have I ever wanted to not tip somebody because I have this moral compass, right? But sometimes you just like, man, someone needs to teach them a lesson, or they need to be more kind, or, you know, they need to meet me halfway and do awesome things. But really, really what it comes to is go-givers aren't seeking that validation. They're not seeking that return. They're going to give without thought of reciprocity because they know it's coming through the universe. They know that they can hit the stratosphere of success if they give more. And I'll repeat Mr. Zig Ziglar and say, you can have anything you want if you'll help enough people get what they want first. And first is most important to me. So any other thoughts, just kind of wrapping this up, Willie, from you?
Yeah, two last final thoughts that I have. When you said go, when you're talking about the difference between go giver and go getter and how there's not really a difference, but they kind of work together, I first thought about how a go getter is when a little kid does a picture of like the sun and only uses the color yellow, and then go giver being the color orange, which then if you mix it with that yellow, you can do shades, you can do details, and it just like makes the sun that much more visible and presentable and clean and clear. Then it went to, you want to know what? Go-getters are people that go and get what they want. Go-givers are the ones who give, knowing that as they go and give, that they're going to get what they want. So I'm going to take a little twist on this, and John, you can give your little thing on it. I think that go-getter is a tier three level. And we'll just say like tier three is like low and then, you know, up to tier one. But a go-giver is on that tier one level, right? It's like the evolved, you know, Pokemon was out in super important, Pokemon Go, several years ago, right? During the COVID times. I think that the evolution of go-getter is a go-giver, because they have that self-confidence. They know that as they give, they're going to get. So the more that they go and get what they want and give while doing it, they're going to give it. So it's like the go-getter is like the how Gary Vaynerchuk used to say it. He's just like, you got to hustle, you got to go, you got to like make everything work. But now he's just like, be patient, like continue to go, but be happy, be empathetic. And it's like, yeah, that's like the evolution of it. That's the giving to other people. So I'll let you talk about that in a second after I give my second point. But I think that first thing is like go giver is like the evolution of go getter, of just like that next step that you can take where you have that bare minimum. And then you have that like second part of like go getter, go and get it. And then that top tier of just go giver. I think that's super important. The other thing that I want to leave with is in the chapter of the Law of Influence, it asks that question. It says that your influence is defined by how often and how much you focus on other interests first. Right? So when you focus on the other individual, the question that popped into my head after that is how can you focus on someone else when you're not set yourself? That makes sense. Like if you have problems going on in your own life and you're not dealing with those on a level that you can be able to give to other people, it's going to be, not saying you can't, but it's going to be very difficult to be able to give when you're so focused on your own life. So there's two parts to this, because the first is, well, the both of them is like, okay, so how do you get set? Well, that's making sure that you have a body being able to give, that you're set with your skills and you're being able to have social skills and such. Also being able to be like mentally clear, spiritually clear with like the soul and deity or universe or whatever you believe in, being set yourself, not having it figured out, but to a degree that you can be. And then it goes into the second part, which is how do you do that? And it's kind of, I don't think oxymoron is the terminology for this. I know there's like an effect term, but it's the way that you can figure your crap out is by helping others do their crap. So the more that you go out and serve other people, the more easier it is to figure yourself out. So it's like so the ultimate answer with it is, how do you be a go-giver? Well, you give. How do you be a go-giver? Well, you got to figure your crap out so you can think of others. And how do you do that? Well, it's going out and serving other people and giving. So the ultimate answer, John, the ultimate answer in the whole thing is just to give. Because no matter which route that you are on or need to take, serving and giving to other people will ultimately result in one, your life getting together, and two, building that special and important value between yourself and other people with relationships.
Yeah, I love all of that, man. Congratulations and thank you for sharing. I think that's so introspective because it really is a matter of approach. Somebody was talking with me the other day and we talked about three things, message, method, and messenger. Method, message, and messenger. There's a way to give a message that's called the method. There is the message, and then there's the messenger who gives it. And all three of those dynamics are so valuable in the process of interacting with people, because you can't avoid life. You can't avoid people. It's impossible. We are so intertwined, and the world is a better place when good people are in it. And the more we create that goodness through go giving, goodness continues to abundantly reign and affect others. And, you know, here's an interesting thought too. I guess connected to right now, which is whether you receive or you don't, doesn't matter. But if somebody else is the receiver of giving, that's what matters. Right. And it reminds me of all the years of volunteering and going to like the Secret Santa organizations and packing up, you know, donations and delivering them to houses of people who you couldn't afford a Christmas or were hitting hard times. And I just remember, like, you know, what did I gain from any of that? Like, did it matter? No, it didn't matter. What mattered is that I was a modality. I was the mess. I was the method and the vehicle to helping people be receivers of goodness. And that's what Go Giving is all about. And what you said, Willie, definitely summarized that way better than what I just said. I feel like the epiphany for me today is Go Giving is authenticity, genuineness, but true influence is focused on true influence is defined by being you. And I think that's what the book was talking about. So yeah, great stuff, man. I appreciate this. I appreciate that. I'm going to check just a few. Awesome. No worries. I got your message. Perfect. And we just want to thank everyone for joining us. And if you love the show, of course, please send us a 5-star review. Nothing shy of 5. If you want to do anything shy of 5, we appreciate it, but just don't. And also, if you want to leave us great, you know, you can send us a message. We're an open podcast. And so please send us an email to info@mychampioncircle.com. That's where our team can evaluate it and bring it on the air or do what we need to make adjustments. If you plan on supporting us, if you want to learn more, if you suggest any books or ideas, or if you have comments that we could go back and read, I'd love that. So here we are, Champion Reads podcast, where we discuss best-selling books, articles, and anything else that will help us to grow. And we discuss it from our own perspectives, and hopefully it's valuable to you. And we believe all of that. So Ian, where'd you go? Ian, we appreciate you as you listen to this recording. We know that you're a busy gentleman and you're out from the world changing lives. Willie, thank you for your connection and for your comments today. I love our discussions and I'm learning a lot. So I think that's the most important thing is we show up and we record our conversations because we just want to learn more. But from a media perspective, this is a great opportunity for others to join in on the fun. And with all that being said, guys, we'll bring this episode to a close, but we'll finish up the book in one more episode talking about the last two principles, the two laws in the Go Giver series, and then we'll be moving towards having another discussion. And Willie and I made a executive decision the other day conversing about a book that we had just read and the one that he recommended to me, and we want to do that next. So we'll string that along as a little carrot for you guys to come to the next episode and learn more about the upcoming episodes. And with that all being said, thank you for joining us on the Champion Reads podcast, where we covered The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks.